Amen. Good to see all the saints of God. Amen. Amen. Judges chapter 6 and verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar to the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. Everyone say, in the ordered place. Take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took ten men of his servants, as did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cast down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Praise God. Let's ask God to help us tonight in the name of Jesus. God, we ask you, Lord, God, to touch your people tonight. God, let there be a liberty of the Spirit. God, where your Spirit is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. I praise you, Lord God, and I worship you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Oh, let's praise the Lord here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's clap our hands to the Lord. Let's give God praise. Hallelujah, 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 in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Praise God, praise God. Amen, amen. If you'll help me preach tonight, you can be seated. Hallelujah, amen. I'm just going to preach for a little while tonight about a title that may or may not be familiar to you. And I've preached this, I know, once before, and maybe twice. But today, as I was praying, I was thinking about exactly what I'm going to preach, and I had it narrowed down, and God began to deal with me about two things. And The things that I'm going to preach tonight are the things that God dealt with me about. But as I began to look at my notes, I began to realize that both things that God had dealt with me about, both things are in this message tonight. So I believe that God has this church in mind, and specifically God has you in mind. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Amen, that God has us in mind. Amen, when we are in his house. Amen. When we are coming to church, God already has prepared for us the things that he wants for us to have. Praise God. My Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And sometimes we think about that preparation as a future tense of heaven, or something that is going to come down the road at another time. Amen. But I believe that it's not just something that's futuristic, but that is right now. Amen. Because we serve a right now God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now faith. I believe it can be right now. Now faith. I know that might be a usage of English grammar, but I believe right now we can have that faith that God wants us to have. Amen. That will bring us through any situation. Amen. That when God says, hey, this is my people, I'm going to take care of them.
Amen. There's going to be food in the pantry. There's going to be oil in the cruise and a little meal in the barrel. Hallelujah. Amen. And it doesn't matter if there's a famine, God's going to take care of his people. Well, praise God. I said it doesn't matter what happens, God's going to take care of his people. Amen. The middle of March, everything's rolling along. Amen. Everybody working. And middle of April, men laid off. Amen. 30 million of them. Amen. But in our church in Hutchison, about four different people. Amen. Trying to figure out how to raise families, pay their bills. And, you know, I'm just like your pastor. I preach and teach the word of God. That if you're obedient, amen, you shall eat of the fruit of the land. Amen. And my Bible tells me, amen, that if a man robs God, amen, he does it in tithes and offerings. Now, don't worry, your pastor hasn't talked to him. I'm just telling you how God has blessed the people of God. And I teach in our church in Hutchison, if you pay your tithes and offering, God's going to take care of you. Amen. And a young man that's making really good money went out and got his electrician's license, and he was on a job and they laid him off, and he told me, he said, well, pastor, so far everything's going good. Amen. He said he saw an ad on the Wichita Craigslist, somebody needing a bumper welded, and she said, can you build a bumper that looks like this one? He says, well, sure, how much are they going to charge you online? She said, they want $1,400 for that one. He said, well, how about half price? And she said, that sounds like a good deal. So he said, I made $200 a day welding that bumper together. Well, thank God. Hey, and you know what happened is he did another one. He's getting ready to do another one. Hallelujah. He's supposed to be an electrician. He's being a welder right now. Don't tell me that God's not going to take care of his church. God will take care of his church. Have faith in God. He's a right now God. Well, hallelujah. You ought to clap your hands and thank God that he's a right now God. Hallelujah. Amen. He's on time. Hallelujah. Praise God. We are reading, we're preaching tonight out of the book of Judges by a familiar name, the man by the name of Gideon. And Gideon, I'm not going to say he was a scaredy cat, but the Bible tells us that he was in hiding, and he would come out and tend his fields and take care of the things that needed to be done, and he was doing it in secret. And the angel of the Lord came to him and said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Amen. And he said, who, me? And the angel of the Lord began to tell him the things that were going to happen in his life. Amen. He said, these are the things that you're going to do. You're going to deliver Israel, amen, out of the host of the Midianites. Amen. And this is going to be the victory that God is going to work. And this is how God is going to do it. Very significant. I can promise you, amen, that when you come out of the world, when you receive the Holy Ghost, amen, hey, young person, just because you were raised in the church, it doesn't mean that you have to go out and experience the things of this world. You don't have to experience it. Amen. You ought to thank God that you too, amen, have a first generation experience. Amen. That God's going to bring you through just like he did your mom and dad, just like he did your grandma and grandpa. Hey, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are mighty men of valor. Amen. And the Holy Ghost has sent you a preacher to preach tonight. Amen. That God's going to give you revival. Amen. God's going to give you a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And God's going to win the victory. I said, God's going to win the victory. Oh, you ought to clap your hands and believe it right now. Hallelujah. And you know, Gideon, you can be seated. Gideon was kind of like us. He was a little bit, I don't know that he was skeptical, but he was very concerned. And he said, well, God, if all these things are going to happen, he said, I'm going to put a fleece before God. And the doctrine of fleecing God really is not a good way. You just hearken and obey and have faith in God and believe God. That's really the way that you live for God. Amen. Not by saying, well, God, I'll live for you if you do this. Amen. And but Gideon did it. He said, if you'll make the fleece wet and the ground around it dry, he said, I'll know that you're right in the middle of what's going on in my life. And sure enough, it happened. Amen. And he said, well, God, if you're still in the middle of all this, amen, you'll make the fleece dry and the ground around it wet. And sure enough, it happened. Getting at that point, he said, wow, I believe that God really does care about me. I believe that God has called me. But now what am I to do? Amen. Can I tell you that Gideon was just living life, and then God turned his world upside down. Amen. I can tell you tonight, amen, that you're not going to live for God on your terms. Amen. You're going to live for God, amen, according to what saith the word of God. Amen. What you hear preached across this pulpit, what the word of God commands us to do. Amen. That's how we live for God. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How are you going to hear without a preacher? Hey, preach to me by the words. I've got to have a preacher to preach to me. You're my pastor. Preach to me. Amen. I had a man, you can be seated. I had a man stand before the congregation today. Amen. And there was a whole bunch of people outside of our parking lot standing there listening. And I don't know where Brother Jesse would be today if it hadn't have been for his man of God to go and pray for him. Amen. And pray the prayer of faith and rebuke death off of him. Amen. He was laying dead on that emergency room table. And Brother Howard and I walked in there. Brother Andrew Howard, just two, a young pastor and a young evangelist. And we walked in there and laid hands on him and began to rebuke death. You want to know where we learn to rebuke death? Is from my pastor and from his pastor. And as we begin to rebuke death in Jesus' name, amen, Brother Jesse reared up on his elbows and went, boo! He had a tube in his mouth. He couldn't talk. The doctor came running in and said, what was that? And I said, he just reared up on his elbows and went, boo! And that doctor said, that's a good thing. Hey, I'm here to preach to you. It's time to have faith in the word of God. It's time to believe the word of God. It's time to say, God, if you said it, I'll do it. We don't have to have a sign for everything we do. But God answered prayers for old Gideon. And then we know the story of how that God said, okay, Gideon, he said, get the army together. We're going to go fight a war. And he said, hey, everybody. He said, come on, everybody that wants to join the army. And 32,000 men showed up. And he said, everybody that's scared, go home. And 22,000 left. And his faith was a little bit shaken. He was like, wow, I still got 10,000 left, but 32,000 sure would have made things a little easier. You know, oh yeah, all of us can do the math and say, yeah, 32,000, that's only about 2.5 to 1, because there were 70,000 Midianites. And that's a lot of people. And he said, yeah, I think we can take him 2.5 to 1. And all of a sudden, the odds went down. And all of a sudden, what would that math be? About 7 to 1. Is that right? 7 times 10 would be 70,000. And so there's 10,000 Israelites and 70,000 Midianites. all of a sudden the job got just a little bit tougher. And he said, well, I think we can still do it. I've got God on my side. You still there, God? How many's ever been in that position before? All right, guys, let's go fight the war. You still there? Don't leave me. I already had 22,000 leave. Man, I put a little bit of damper on the revival spirit of 22,000 people walked out the door. Amen. I like that attitude right there. The glass is half full, not half empty. Woo, I feel revival in this church. Oh, don't worry. I know where we're going here. And God said, okay, Gideon, they're still not ready. He said, you need to go down to the water. Let's go do the water test now. And he said, everybody that laps like a dog, he said, keep them. He said, everybody that gets down on their belly, kick them out of the army. And when he got done, there was 300 men left out of 32,000. Man, I don't know. That's a little bit of hard of a math problem for me, but that leaves somewhere around 29,900. Is that right? That walked out. No, more than that. I guess that's more than that. Don't judge me by my math skills here. And by that time, Gideon, he knew he was doing the will of God. But he just said, okay. He said, God, he said, I just have to know that what we're getting ready to do is your will. Because he said, only you can fight this battle. Only you can do the miracle that needs to be done. And you know something, God, I had a dream last night. And when I woke up, I knew it was just a dream because my pastor was in the dream. And he's gone 9 years now, and he's gone. But God gave Gideon a dream. I still believe in dreams and visions. Amen. I believe that God can use dreams and visions to increase your faith to do the work of God. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. And old Gideon, he was in a, God give him a vision. Amen. Of a rock coming down out of the mountain and falling in the midst of the Midianites. And he went to, he gave that to the Midianites. And Gideon went down to the Midianite camp. And when he gave that to the soldier of the Midianites. And when Gideon went down to the camp, he got down there. And he heard the one guy telling the other one about the dream that he had. And Gideon was sitting there with rapt attention as he began to tell him how that this Midianite soldier said, man, listen to this dream I had last night. He said, while I was sleeping, this dream came and a rock came out of the mountain and it began to fall into the midst of all of us and it discomfited us and we were scattered. And the other guy said, man, I know the interpretation of that dream. He said, that's Gideon, and his God is going to cause them to win the battle. Amen. And these guys were already whipped, and when Gideon heard it, he went back and he said, okay, we're ready to fight the battle. And God said, okay, Gideon, this is the way you're going to fight the battle. You're going to fight it with a pitcher. You're going to fight it with a trumpet. And you're going to fight it with your voice. Amen. This is the way that it's going to happen. Amen. And Gideon, he said, okay, guys. He said, you hold the pitcher in one hand, the trumpet in the other. And he said, you do just what I do. He said, we're going to split up three ways. Amen. We're going to surround the Midianites on the mountainside. Amen. And God's going to win the battle for us. Amen. They took the trumpet. Amen. They blew the trumpet. They threw the pitcher on the ground. And they shouted the sword of the Lord. And Gideon. You say, preacher, that sounds crazy. Why do we come to church and dance and shout? Why do we pray? I'll tell you why. It's because God is going to win the battle. Amen. God is going to give the victory. God is going to pour out revival right here in Augusta, right here in East Wichita, right here in Andover, right here in Augusta. Amen. Right over here in El Dorado, there is revival. I said there's a revival. You know something? People's looked at us like we're crazy. And if it still bothers us, then there's something wrong with your walk with God. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, the church has always been persecuted. And I'm not really 100% sure that this was a true persecution of the church. But it's God trying to tell the church, you better wake up, you better get ready. Because there is a whole bunch of things that were intertwined with all this that we're still dealing with. That we have to, we're not stupid. We can read between the lines and say, you know, that was just a little bit more than just concern for health or safety. But that it was a power grab. And I'm not here to get political tonight. I think you know me better than that. But can I tell you, the church has always faced persecution. But God has always taken care of the church. Hallelujah. I said God has always taken care of the church. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, Stephen, he was getting stoned. Amen. And while he was stoned, he was saying, Lord God, amen, forgive them. Don't lay this to their charge. And can I tell you what was happening? He said, there was a young man by the name of Saul standing there consenting unto his death. And while a young man was getting hit with stones, he heard a prayer meeting going on. He heard a tongue-talking experience. Amen. That old Stephen was praying. Oh, my friend, I guarantee you, there was more than just words going on. Hey, man, there was a prayer meeting going. You better get a hold of this in living for God. This isn't about me, but it's about the kingdom of God. You know what happened? Is when old Saul went home that night, he still heard the prayer meeting that Stephen was having with his God. And I promise you that it affected him like he had never been affected before. And it intensified his persecution against the church. And you know what God did? You can be seated. You know what God did? Because my Bible says God struck him down on the Damascus Road. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And by that time, Saul knew that he had run into something bigger than the Sanhedrin. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. As soon as he said, I am, amen, it caught all Saul's attention because he knew who the great I am was. And when he says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest, amen, he said, it's hard for you to kick against the prick. Hey, church, it's time to have revival like we've never had it before. This world, they know something's going on, and they need a Stephen. I said they need an evangelist. They need someone to proclaim the word of God to them on the job, in the family, wherever they're at. It's time for revival. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You can be seated. We've been having parking lot church for about the last 4 years. I've been working on Jim, our neighbor, right across the street from the church. And I said, Jim, you need to come to church with me. Experience the Holy Ghost. He said, Nathan, he said, I want to know something. He said, do you have snakes in that church? And I said, Jim, if you bring a snake to church, I'm leaving.
But we've been talking. I said, Jim, really, I want you and your wife came, and I went and knocked on his door. And he says, well, my wife, you know, he always blamed it on his wife. And my wife, we're going to her church. And so all the mess going on, we started having church in the parking lot. Amen. Amen. And I saw Jim over there the last 3 Sundays. And what I didn't know, he's listening on Easter Sunday too. It's cold Easter Sunday. But he said, I was listening to you, preacher. And 2 Sundays ago, I said, could you just slip your hands up to the Lord right now and begin to talk to God? And I saw my 83-year-old neighbor lifting his hands up to heaven. He came over on Friday, and he calls me, preacher. He said, preacher, he said, you've been doing a good job. He said, I've been listening to every message you preach on Sunday morning. Amen. And you know what happened again today is he's listening again. I'm going to get a Bible study with him, Brother Worse. I'm going to teach him the Word of God. Amen. But you know what's happening, church? Amen. Is the world around us. Amen. They know who we are. Amen. They just want that opportunity. Amen. And they've got to have a Stephen. Amen. They got to have a Gideon that says, okay, God, if you've called me to work for you, I'll do that work. I'll be that witness. I'll reach for that soul. And there's revival in the land. Pastor, this is ridiculous. We're marching with a trumpet in one hand. That's better. We got a pitcher in his hand. This is ridiculous, Pastor. Pastor Gideon, really? I don't know what Gideon's last name was, or I'd call him by his last name, but we never call our pastor by his first name. But they said, Pastor Gideon, this is ridiculous. Walking up these mountain switchback trails. And what those guys didn't know is Gideon already knew the outcome. He had already heard the dream. And he already heard the sinner interpret it, that this is what's going to happen. And God had already told him, said, okay, Gideon, this is what you do. And the higher they got, they after a while, walking up a mountain, I'm not sure you'd have enough air. I know I wouldn't have enough air to argue with the pastor anymore. But he said, look, guys, this is what you have to do in order to win the victory. I don't know about you, but I have been in Pentecost long enough that I've heard the men of God say, if you want the victory, this is what you have to do. I don't know. I know most of you in here, but I don't know what your pastor's been preaching. Hey, man, I don't know what he's been teaching you. I do have a good idea out of the Word of God what he teaches, but what he's the specifics of it, I don't. Amen. I don't know the function specifics of everything that your pastor tells you to do, but I have a God that's been speaking to him. Amen. And he speaks to you, and he already knows the outcome. If you'll hear the Word of God and have faith enough, amen, to say, yes, God, I want that revival, and we're going to do it. Amen. And the pastor says, get the trumpet in your hand, get the pitcher in your hand, and get ready to shout for the victory. You're ready to shout for the victory, because there's victory just around the corner. And you know the rest of the story is God wrought a great victory that day. You can be seated, but I'm where I want to preach. In between the call and the victory over the Midianites that day, there is a little known story of Gideon. And this is the key. And this was the key to his victory. Is that before God showed him the victory and how it would be won, he said here, the Lord said to him, take your dad's Cadillac Escalade. Even the even the 57 Chevy in the garage. Trying to get it to where we all get a hold of this. And he said, I want you to throw down the old sacred calf out of your family. And that old altar of Baal. That old altar of football. That old altar of staying home on Sunday and not worshiping God. Come on, somebody. This world has so many gods that they can't worship the God of gods and the King of kings. And he said, I want you to cut down the grove that is by it. I want you to build an altar to the Lord your God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place that I show you. The title of this message, if I didn't say it, is Sacrificing the Life I Lived Yesterday. Sacrificing the life I lived yesterday. And he said, I want you to take the second bullock and offer a sacrifice with the wood of the grove that thou shalt cut down. Basically, what God was telling Gideon to do is he said, I want you to tear down all of the old family curses and bondages and things that have been mainstays that have kept your family from God for years. I want you to destroy it so that you can serve me. And you know something? When that begins to happen in your life, all of a sudden it turns your world upside down, because God is getting you ready for great things. He's getting you ready for revival in your life. He's getting you ready for revival in your family's life. Wouldn't it be a great thing if all of our families sat on the pews in here? You say, well, preacher, it'll never happen. You don't know my family. You don't know my God. Amen. How my God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. Come on, say to God, don't be afraid to tear down those old altars of Baal, those old altars, those things that may have you bound. Say, God, I'm tearing them down. I'm not going back. I'm not looking back. I'm going to have revival. God, you brought me out. If you're going to have revival, you've got to tear down those things of your past. You can be seated. I'm not here to preach you something discouraging. I'm here to preach you something encouraging. My Bible says in Mark chapter 1 and 16, now as he walked by the sea of Galilee, Jesus preached the same message. He saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. I want to ask you tonight, what has God made you to become? You say, preacher, I can't become anything. I've been a failure my whole life. Oh, preacher, I've got this all together. Yeah, you may think you've got it all together. Amen. But when we all get by ourselves, we realize that we may not have it together as much as we think we do, or as much as we portray that we've got it all together. And we realize that really I've got to lean
lean on Jesus. Amen. I can't live without him. I've got to have his help.
Listen to what they did in Mark 1 and 18. And straightway they forsook their nets and follow him. You know what they did? Is they did what Gideon did. Is they killed their father's bullock. They tore down the altar of Baal. And they cut down the groves. They straightway left their nets. Can you imagine what the family said? Oh, I can't believe. Oh, Peter and Andrew. And old James and John, the old fishermen. They left behind the family business. They left behind all the things that mom and dad worked so hard, and they've just left it all in the dirt, and now they're walking around the countryside. Amen. Following after Jesus Christ. Amen. And what they didn't know, amen, is that these men, I believe that these men somehow had been praying. The Bible doesn't go into much depth of their prior life, other than that when Jesus walked by, amen, their ships, amen, and they were mending ships, Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And the Bible says, straightway, they forsook their nets. They said, oh, life, we're done with you. Oh, life, we're going into a brand new walk. Amen. We've never been there before. But this man spake as never a man had spake. And all of a sudden, they begin to see the miracles that Jesus did. And I tell you, when Jesus brought you out of the world, he did a miracle in your life. Amen. When Jesus brought you out of sin, he did a miracle in your life. When Jesus Christ filled you with the Holy Ghost, he did a miracle. Somebody ought to clap your hands and thank God for the miracle that he's done. Mark 2 and 13 says he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. What were some of the things that he taught them? He taught them, you've got to sell out. You've got to sell out. You've got to sacrifice the life you live yesterday. Don't try to hold on to that old life. Just say, you know something? That life is over. Thank God he delivered me from that old life of sin. My mom and dad, when they got in church, my dad was a heathen, and my mom was a Mennonite. Hey, can you imagine that? She wasn't your cap-wearing kind. She was a little bit more liberalized. But nonetheless, my dad, when he came to church the first time, he wept and cried. I wish my dad was here with me tonight so you could meet him if you've never met him before. And when my mom came to church, she'd been hearing about the Holy Ghost for about 6 months. She'd been staying the night with my old great-grandma Avery. And my great-grandma was the first one to get in church. And for 6 months, my great-grandma had been telling my mom, you know what you need is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the greatest thing that's ever happened in your life. And my mom, she grew up a pretty good life. She said she didn't cuss. She didn't do bad things. But she needed the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the first time my dad and mom came to church, my dad said to my mom, you want to go to the altar? She said, I'll follow you. And when my dad hit the altar, my mom and dad both got the Holy Ghost. And what it did, it was the saving of this young man.
I wasn't even around yet. But you know what God did? Hey, man, as God started putting their life together and they sacrificed the life that they lived yesterday. I'll tell everybody in here that it has to become a first generation experience. You can't live on mom and dad's experience. You've got to have your own experience in living for God. You've got to get the Holy Ghost. You've got to be baptized. And I'll tell you what God's going to do is God's going to show you a great victory. Amen. In your walk with God, God's going to do a mighty work. Amen. Just sacrifice that old life. Lay it on the altar and say, God, my life is not my own. My life belongs to you. Here's my all, Jesus. Brother Ethan, if you'd come. But before Gideon could go to win the victory that God had called him to win, he had to sacrifice that life that he lived yesterday. It doesn't matter whether the life is sinful, or whether your life has been living for God. You've got to say, okay, God, yesterday's over. Yesterday's gone. And I'm not holding on to it. I'm not holding on to the problems and failures. I'm not holding on to the successes. I'm not holding on to all the things that I've done right. But tonight, God, I'm going to do what you've commanded me to do. And the Word of God commands us that we've got to sell out. That merchant man, the kingdom of heaven, is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. That when he found that one pearl of great price, that he sold all that he had to purchase that one pearl of great price. I want to ask you, saint of God, if every eye would close, no one looking around. I want to open this altar, but I want to ask you this question. Have you truly sold out to God and say, God, it doesn't matter what yesterday's assessment of life may be, but what have you dealt with me about today? That today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. That right now, that while we look through a glass darkly, and sometimes there's temporary problems, the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What are you doing in life that's going to affect eternity? What are you doing in this life that may affect someone's eternity beside yourself? I want to encourage your church, New Life Tabernacle, that the Holy Ghost is here right now. God knows exactly who you are and where you're at. I want to open this altar. If you need the Holy Ghost, if you need renewing in the Holy Ghost, today's the day. Come on. Come on, young person, sell out to God. Say, here I am, Jesus. Come on, saint of God. Come on, mom and dad. There may be somebody's salvation at home that's riding upon you to sell out. To sell out to God and say, God, I didn't start on this journey to fail you. God, but I started on this journey to see complete victory, to see my family saved. Come on, maybe you have children that need the Holy Ghost. Oh, maybe there's someone that's close to you. Co-worker, maybe there's someone that needs God. Come on, they might depend upon you, co-worker. Come on, could there be a deep consecration here tonight that God, I want to be a soul winner. I want to see that victory. I want to see revival, oh God. Come on, let's pour our hearts out to God right now. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, la 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 la
Oh, come on, lift your voice up to God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, don't wait for tomorrow. Don't be a King Agrippa and say, the Apostle Paul, say, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Almost, preacher, you got me to come. That's not what I'm striving for. But my message tonight was to sell out. Say, God, here it is. I've waited long enough, God. I found what I've been looking for. The world's still looking. They're still searching. They haven't found what they've been looking for. But you found it tonight. You found that pearl of great price. Oh, come on, sell out to Him. Sell out to Him. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes, God. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Whoa, yes, God. Hallelujah.